You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. If you're joining me for the first time, my name is Nancy Monturi, and I have a passion and commitment to improving human health. And I advocate a plant-based diet for health and wellness. If you're not familiar with a plant-based diet, it is a diet based on fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes like beans and lentils, and healthy fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado. It excludes all meat and dairy. Everyone is welcome here. Vegans, vegetarians, part-time vegans, and people who are just trying to improve their health by cutting back on meat and dairy even one day a week. I welcome you all with open arms. If you are new to a plant-based diet, I recommend that you listen to my podcast number one, Getting Started on a Plant-Based Diet, and podcast number 10, How to Get Optimum Nutrition on a Plant-Based Diet. And to all of you who have reached out to me, I must say that receiving your emails and voice messages means so much. Thank you for your kind words and encouragement. You inspire me and keep me going. I am sorry there has been a few weeks' delay between podcasts of late, but I am currently working on something very exciting, and I can't wait to share it with all of you. This project is my next step in spreading health and wellness to those who need it and want it most. So please stay tuned. In the meantime, let's talk about things that are going to improve your health, because that is why we are here, to keep you as healthy and as happy as possible. Today's podcast is called, How Long Are Your Telomeres? But before I get started, I wanted to talk about animals. It's not something I discuss very often, but we are about to head into the holidays, and the holidays represent a season of joy, celebration, and simply giving thanks for what we have, and a wonderful time to be reflective about our life and our life choices. What I'm about to say isn't meant to make anyone feel bad about their choices, but I think it is important that we have open discussions about all sentient beings and not just take it for granted. This podcast is about health and wellness, but animals are part of the wheel in which we live and improve our health. And I wanted to share a little about that with you today. I love listening to lectures by Joseph Campbell. And recently I listened to a lecturer, and it got me thinking about our evolution from hunters to our current food chain. If you're not familiar with Joseph Campbell, I highly recommend listening to his lectures, especially his conversations with American journalist Bill Moyers. Mr. Campbell was a highly regarded American mythologist, writer, and lecturer. His work covers many aspects of the human experience, and his famous phrase was, follow your bliss. Mr. Campbell's usage of the word myth does not denote falsehood. Rather, a traditional story concerning the early history of human beings, which helps explain some natural or social phenomena. Here is what Mr. Campbell had to say about eating life to live. The human eye opens at a rather late stage in the development of the individual. He has already done the most marvelous work he will ever do. In a mysterious way, in his mother's womb, he has built a human body, and this body has organs that are directed to certain ends and intentions. These were not organs designed by reason or designed by consciousness. Reason and consciousness comes to itself to ask later, What am I all about? What is it I am here for? Why is it I do this and that? Furthermore, the coming of the eyes into the general biological picture is very late. Life has already originated hundreds of millions of years before eyes opened and saw what was going on and saw what life was doing. Now you see and think what life does, what life has to do in order to be life. It has to kill and eat other life. That is a basic thing. Dr. Campbell goes on to say, this is a rather monstrous thing, and when the eyes see what the situation is, which its own life depends, its own existence depends, when conscious and consciousness become aware of the preconditions of their own existence, there is often a sense of shock and a sense of horror. Mr. Campbell also talks a lot about the mythology of the hunter and the hunted. Mr. Campbell says, in life there are hunters and the hunted, and we are lucky enough to be at the top of the food chain. So that got me thinking. In ancient times, people did not have the same food options we have today. Their meat did not come clean and packaged from a grocery store. They had to hunt it, kill it, butcher it, and eat it. Primitive people typically saw the animals as being their equals and often their superiors. Animals were seen as father figures and spirit guides. They saw hunting as a kind of a covenant between the animal world and the human world. They hunted, killed, and ate with a reverence for the sacrifice of the animal. The hunters of the past faced plainly what they were doing, and they didn't hide from the facts. This is in direct opposition to the way we eat today. When we put animal products on our kitchen table, we turn a blind eye to how the animals are being slaughtered. We are also supporting a greedy industry that makes money out of the suffering of innocent animals, not to mention the environmental hazards your children will have to face in their lifetime because of their greed. So, getting back to Mr. Campbell's lecture, what would our world be like if a child was born and never raised to believe that their survival relied on dead animals? What if all the needless suffering and killing of animals no longer existed? Would this kind, compassionate life extend to all areas of living? Would we evolve into some kind of giant hippie commune spreading peace and love? I may be getting carried away, but you get my point. Bottom line, killing animals to survive isn't what it used to be. We shouldn't be doing something just because we have always done it that way. That's it. Food for thought. Now, let's talk about how long your telomeres are. Telomeres are a DNA sequence at the tip of a cell's chromosome in human beings. Think of them as little caps that protect our chromosomes from deterioration, which is associated with aging and disease. Telomeres become shorter with each cell division and can reach a point where they are no longer able to protect the chromosomes, leaving them open to deterioration. This leads to aging and disease development. In recent years, shorter telomeres have been associated with a broad range of age-related diseases, including some forms of cancer, dementia, stroke, cardiovascular disease, obesity, osteoporosis, and diabetes. After 35 years of research, the analysis of telomere length is emerging as a commercial biomarker for aging and disease. We all have telomeres, and the longer your telomeres are, the longer you live. As we age, our cells divide and our telomeres shorten. Telomere length is critical for how your chromosomes behave. So how can we protect and affect the size of our telomeres? According to scientific studies, one of the most powerful ways to extend life and increase telomere size is to reduce food intake while still satisfying nutritional needs. For instance, experiments have shown that you can increase telomere's length and lifespan by 50% through dietary restrictions. Fortunately, it is never too late to make these changes. In experiments, mice whose caloric intakes weren't reduced until they were 19 months old, equivalent to late middle age in humans, showed significant increase in telomere size and lifespan after just a couple of months on less calories. According to a study at the University of California, headed by Dr. Dean Ornish, founder of the nonprofit Preventative Medicine Research Institute, diet and lifestyle changes can improve the length of your telomeres. For 5 years, the researchers followed 35 men with localized early-stage prostate cancer to explore the relationship between lifestyle changes and telomere length. 10 of the patients embarked on lifestyle changes that included a plant-based diet high in vegetables, legumes, fruits, and grains. They also enjoyed moderate exercise, walking 30 minutes a day, 6 days a week, and utilized stress reduction activities like meditation and gentle yoga. When they compared those 10 men with the other 25 study participants who did not make the lifestyle changes, the group that made the lifestyle changes experienced a significant increase in telomere length of approximately 10%. By contrast, the men in the other group who were not asked to alter their lifestyle had measurably shorter telomeres, nearly 3% shorter. Some scientists believe that checking the length of your telomeres is the best way to determine disease potential and to gain information about how long you might live. There are companies that do telomere analysis with a blood test. Also, some people use an herb called astragalus to help strengthen and lengthen their telomeres, because astragalus can reverse cell damage and potentially extend life. Astragalus is a plant in the leguminosae family, which is the beans and legumes family, with a long history as an immune system booster and disease fighter. This perennial flowering plant grows from 16 to 36 inches tall and is native to parts of China. According to research, astragalus acts as an anti-inflammatory, and inflammation is at the root of most diseases. The saponins and polysaccharides are the key ingredients in astragalus, and they can reduce inflammatory response in a number of illnesses and conditions. Saponins and polysaccharides only occur in plant food, and consuming these phytochemicals can help lower cholesterol, improve immune function, and even help prevent cancer. We will talk more about phytochemicals in an upcoming podcast. Astragalus can also help boost the immune system, slow or prevent the growth of tumors, protect the cardiovascular system, and regulate and help relieve insulin resistance. Sounds like a miracle drug, right? But it's not. It's a natural herb straight from Mother Nature. You can buy astragalus root drops as a dietary supplement. Make sure you look at the ingredients and make sure there aren't any added ingredients besides water. I am also very suspect about taking astragalus supplements of any sort because of the additives. I would recommend the natural drops over any vitamin supplement. Bottom line, we all know the vast majority of Americans eat considerably more calories than required on a Western diet of excessive amounts of animal protein. Many people who overeat are surprised to find out they're still nutritionally deficient despite the quantity of food they eat. Always remember, it's not how much you eat, it is what you eat. Nutritional science is providing compelling evidence that we're poisoning ourselves with excess food and shortening our lifespan and promoting disease with unhealthy calories. Although a full-time vegan diet can be challenging, it can also help you lose weight because your daily caloric intake will drop when you give up animal-derived foods. Most vegan diets help you eat an average of 500 fewer calories per day, which is approximately a pound a week. Even though I did not become a vegan for weight loss, I personally lost 6 pounds in less than 120 days and never felt hungry. Even if you don't embrace a plant-based diet full-time, reducing your calories by as little as 25% has shown to lengthen telomeres and help you live a longer and healthier life. That is it for today's podcast. But before we go, let's go into Ordinary Vegan's kitchen for a simple bowl of nutritious, delicious soup. I am highlighting soup this week because holiday eating can be challenging. On average, people gain about 2 pounds between Thanksgiving and the New Year. 2 pounds doesn't sound like much, but it can add up over time. My number one healthy holiday strategy is always beginning your holiday meal with soup. Filling up on a healthy, high-fiber soup can help prevent you from overeating later. Several studies have shown that consuming low-energy dense soup is a strategy that can be used to enhance weight loss and increase satiety, which means feeling full and satisfied. Energy density is the number of calories in a particular weight of food. It means you can have satisfying portions of low-energy dense foods with a relatively low calorie content. You can learn more about energy density in podcast number 5 on why you can eat more calories on a plant-based diet and not gain weight. So, for example, this nutritious broccoli and spinach soup has approximately 75 calories per serving. Foods high in fiber and water, like broccoli, are high-volume foods. They add bulk to your meals and fill up your stomach without a lot of calories. They also keep you full longer and simple to prepare. All you need is 1 pound of broccoli florets chopped, 2 cups of spinach leaves, 1/2 cup of vegetable broth for sautéing, plus 2 to 3 cups for soup broth, 1 cup of non-dairy, unflavored milk for creaminess, but that is optional, 1/2 cup of chopped onion, 3 tablespoons of fresh chopped basil, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of fresh ground black pepper. I like to garnish my soup with some shredded scallions and perhaps some crispy shallots or croutons. I always like to add a crunch to all my plant-based soups. So, here's what you do. In a medium saucepan, heat 1/2 cup of vegetable broth over medium heat. Add the onions and sauté for about 5 minutes until soft and translucent, stirring occasionally and adding more vegetable broth if it's sticking. Add the broccoli, salt, and ground black pepper, and 2 cups of the vegetable broth. Bring it to a boil over high heat, reduce the heat to medium-low, and simmer for about 7 minutes. Add the spinach and simmer for another 3 minutes, or until the broccoli is fork tender. Add the unflavored soy milk and cool for 10 minutes. In a blender or food processor, process the soup until it's fairly smooth. Add the basil and pulse a few times. Return the soup to the pan and reheat gently, adjusting the consistency of the broth with more vegetable broth if it's necessary. Taste for seasonings. Garnish with crispy shallots, spinach leaves, and shredded scallions. That is it for today's podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's plant-based recipes and tips. You can find all of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and show notes at ordinaryvegan.net/playlist. Please join our community on Facebook, which is over 310,000 community members strong. They are awesome, and they love supporting and helping each other. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. I know it's a lot to ask, but if you get a moment, please leave a comment or review on iTunes. If people enjoy the podcast, iTunes will give it a better position and expose it to more people. So thank you in advance. And please keep those emails and voicemails coming. I love hearing from our community. Just email me at questions@ordinaryvegan.net or go to ordinaryvegan.net and record a voice message. Sending you lots of peace and compassion for the holidays. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.